I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Friday to all of you. We made it. It's Friday. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. We are Payne and Pendergast, and we are here till 10 a.m. this morning. Nick Caserio will be here, not here in studio or here hanging out at 610, but he will be on our air at 11 o'clock today. There is a general manager's press conference today. Hi, Seth.
It's all a big simulation. None of us are really here anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know where we are. We're on some mainframe.
It's all AI.
Some universe we're not even aware of.
He's here.
He's here as much as he is there.
That's true.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So,
sorry, I've been watching a lot of Westworld.
I can tell, man. Yeah. A lot of skepticism about actual human beings.
I've been hitting the blunt and listening to Elon Musk podcasts, and frankly.
Yeah. How you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm doing well.
That's good.
I've in the last 24 hours learned the difference between the way lawyers think and the way humans think.
And?
Because
wait a second. So there's a distinction between lawyers.
Well, there is.
And humans.
There is. Lawyers have to kind of try to get their clients to divorce themselves from their emotions as much as possible.
True, true.
So I've had a kind of a long back and forth with one of our listeners who's an attorney. And I don't know if we're even talking about the same thing. But what I've come to realize is, okay, his advice to Deshaun Watson early on would have been basically a blanket strategy, whether he thought he was guilty, whether he thought he was innocent, whether he thought there may be a gray area, whatever, that it would be do not negotiate, because then you're setting a precedent for future. My contention has been, listen, if I believe I'm innocent, there's no way I'm settling, because there's just no precedent for dozens of people coming forward to subject themselves to, public scrutiny and harassment for false claims.
Right.
So if I knew I was innocent, I'd say no way in hell. Screw it. Nope. Not going to do it.
Digging in.
If I thought I was guilty, or if I knew I was guilty, I would have settled the hell right away.
Mm-hmm.
Because so be it. If, 23 other people might come forward. Yep. So you're looking at a max of $2.4 million in settlements, and the potential for it to, even if it doesn't remain completely quiet and anonymous, then it still is one of those things that gets it generally in the media when it comes to lawsuits and how they're handled. Things get handled relatively quietly. Plus, I don't think that it would be 24. I don't think that many people would have come forward, because there wouldn't have been the same amount of publicity. But this attorney is more skeptical that Tony Busby would have kept it relatively quiet or that he would have settled quietly. I don't know. It looks like from the early stuff that we have that there was at least an opportunity early on for them to settle it and make it go away.
Yeah, well, we know today is Friday, so we know that if the trend holds up, there will be something significant happening with the Deshaun Watson case or cases. I have no idea what it is. I'm just saying that Friday seems to be the day when stuff goes down, whether it's Busby press conferences, or last week it was the Rusty Harden press conferences on the heels of two separate hearings to get the names of the plaintiffs disclosed, or whether it's Tony Busby getting on Facebook or Instagram to drop some more bombs on there. Friday, Seth, is always the day you got to circle when it comes to this Deshaun Watson stuff. So I say all that to encourage people to keep it tuned right here to Sports Radio 610. You never know when you're going to hear the breaking news sounder. I don't know what today could be. It does feel like things have settled down a little bit, which is weird. in a week where another lawsuit got tacked onto this thing, that's what qualifies as settling down. Like, it was just one lawsuit dropped out and it was replaced by another one. The number held steady at 22, but I don't know if you feel the same way. It does feel like, I don't know if it's headed towards resolution at any point soon, Seth, but it does feel like things are kind of settling in. Like whereas the trajectory of all this stuff was shooting straight up for the last 3 weeks, it feels like we've kind of plateaued a little bit.
I guess. I don't know. If there was a lawsuit added this week, you know, could lawsuits keep coming in over time? I would imagine so. But yeah, there'll be motion forward at some point. Another disagreement I'm having with this attorney that I'm talking with is just, I guess, the likelihood that it would have stayed all settlements or civil suits, right?
Yeah.
If he had settled early on. I think there's a greater chance of it versus of it actually going to trial versus women deciding to then file criminal complaints, all of that. Because and this is the thing to remember, that in Texas, this is one of the answers to, hey, why would you go civil instead of criminal? There's multiple answers and reasons for that. But one of them is that it's really not that big of an offense in Texas, what Deshaun has been accused of doing.
Amy Dash has pointed that out multiple times.
Yeah, it's a misdemeanor. It's not a felony. Right. So I'm not saying my personal opinion isn't that it's not a big. I'm saying legally the punishment is not all that great or severe.
Well, just to make a distinction, what he was accused of by the first plaintiff, which was the one seeking the settlement, would have been a misdemeanor. There are a few, we need to point out, there are a few lawsuits in there where he is being accused of things that go beyond that. You know, two or three that are in there where he's being accused of, you know, not been proven or been found liable for, but accused of things that do, it seems, go beyond misdemeanor. But most of them, I can't believe we're, like, say, but most of them, as Rusty Harden pointed out, you know, most of the 22 don't involve any sort of, felonious
anybody
activity.
Else, if anybody else has three felonious accusations or accusations of felony against them, it's kind of a big deal. But here, it's like, well, hey. You know, it's
because there's 19 that are misdemeanors. It's like, oh, there's only three, you know, when you compare.
Why are you always focusing on the negative?
What do you
think? Why don't you, like, I'm trying to create positive vibes here. That's what Harden should say next time he gets
just
something.
Right. Like a stoner. What do you think, as long as you're bringing this up, you know, if he had settled with plaintiff number one and for $100,000 or whatever the settlement amount wound up being, and with the idea that, okay, this, you know, you hope it stays private. You hope people don't find out I had to settle for something like this. But this was the easiest thing to do. Whether I did it or not, this was the easiest route to go. If it were just that settlement, and it did become public that Deshaun Watson settled for $100,000 in a case of a he said, she said with a massage therapist, what do you think the reaction would have been? You know, without all the other 21, just that, if it had stayed as one settlement, but it became public. How do you think people would have reacted to that?
It would have been a lot more muffled. You know, I think there would have been people that would say, hey, how come we're not talking about this? Mm-hmm. There would be other people that would dismiss it casually and say, they would make accusations of money grabbing or what have you.
Cost of being an athlete.
Right, when it comes to athlete. And that's where the other, I guess one of the other disagreements I have with some people that say they have this perception that somehow there's always dozens of people laying in wait to try to pounce on you and extort money out of you. I mean, go back to Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner was accused, I can't even remember how it was all resolved, but it was like back in 2006 of improper activity with a massage therapist. Sean, something that comes as no surprise to you because Kevin Costner gave you a titty twister at Purple Nurple.
He did. On Radio Row.
Yeah. But it wasn't like after that 21 other people came forward. And, you know, at least publicly, like, we heard nothing of it.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things that however it was settled and he kind of moved on. And then all of a sudden, like a decade later or 15 years later, there was another incident or something. But it's largely if it had been before, I don't know. So basically, I don't know.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it. Fewer people would have come forward, I think, because they wouldn't have had Tony Busby's number blasted up and everything. Not to say that they shouldn't have or wouldn't have had reason to, but there's also a precedent set at that point for whichever women have complaints, they might see that Deshaun had settled.
Yeah.
They might realize, okay, if I take this criminal, it's going to be a slap on the wrist and a whole bunch of other just public scrutiny, embarrassment, or harassment, all that stuff, that maybe this settlement makes sense. I think it probably would have been more of a chance that – but it also – it still would have been at the level, right, just because of the volume of it. Even if it was – I mean, if it was five or six, that's still way more.
That's why my question was if it just remained the one. Like, when the news came out that he settled with one woman, what would we have been saying about it? And I think it probably would have been fairly muted. It's the multitude of it that turns it into the brush fire that it is.
And that's where I guess, if I'm getting into debates with people about what the initial strategy would be, and that's where you start to feel like an attorney where you're like, okay, I'm completely forgetting about actual, guilt or innocence in any of this. It's just that obviously if I really had to do it over again, I would go back in time like 2 years and be like, hey, maybe I won't start, seeing how far I can take it with some of these massage therapists.
Even if
it does end up being consensual, maybe I'm playing with fire here.
Right,
the choke
point, if you could go back in time, the choke point isn't I should have settled. The choke point is you should have had a different system when it came to procuring your massage therapy. All right, we're off and running on a Friday, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in on the show, we got a lot to get into on the show today. Nick Caserio has a press conference at 11 a.m. today, so we'll preview that at some point here. Hey, big day for the NFL yesterday. Big day for my people, and you guys know who my people are, degenerate gamblers. What took so long? That's next. All right, big news in the NFL yesterday. Especially if you're one of my people, degenerate gamblers, the walls have come down. The last firewall against sports betting has crumbled. It's a moment in time, Seth. It's an historical day when other actual walls have crumbled. This is a figurative wall that crumbled yesterday. The NFL signed multi-year deals with Caesars, DraftKings, and FanDuel to make them official sportsbook partners. The NFL also renews Caesars as the official casino of the NFL and DraftKings as the official daily fantasy partners. So the NFL
casino
is
of the NFL.
Fully in bed with my people now, the gamblers.
Highly regulated the gambling.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
It's really been a short century, though. I mean, when you go back and look at the various people who have been banned from sports forever for gambling, it was for gambling on their specific sport, their specific Pete Rose did gamble on his own games, didn't he?
He bet on them to win. Yes, he will point that out. Yes.
Again, which I feel like should be the next step, right? The fans will always say, and I think rightfully so, they would love it if the players were paid exclusively on whether they won or lost, right? That would be awesome. Mm-hmm. That would be you would see It would get so
the XFL
crazy.
Did that.
It would get so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
You got paid more than one.
More of a bonus, right?
Salaries.
The dream would be either like you win or you go broke. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, so your career is basically gambling.
I do think that you should be encouraged to gamble on yourself.
Yeah. Indeed.
The problem is, because that would actually discourage or disincentivize tanking.
Yeah, you would. Yeah. Seth, you should be the commissioner. I think it's a great solution. I will point out, this is where my big takeaway with this news, two things. One, one leads into the other. One, just to point out how quickly money can change things here, it was less than 5 years ago that the league canceled Tony Romo's fantasy football convention that he was going to do at the Venetian in Las Vegas, because it was at a casino.
That's right. That's right.
Like,
yep. And even go back to,
Amy
Trask, who we've had on our show, our listeners love her, and she used to be an executive for the Raiders for a long, long time.
Right.
She said that when, back when fantasy was first getting big, the Raiders put something up about fantasy football on their website, and the NFL asked them to take it down.
Yeah.
Because it looked like it might be a little too much like gambling, because, you might win a pot if you win your league or something. So, and then daily fantasy crept in, and people would say, hey, this daily fantasy sure feels a lot like gambling. And it was. There was just a loophole because of the Internet Gaming Act of 2007 or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, they
would say
they educated that to us greatly when we were speaking for FanDuel back in the day, remember?
Well, yeah, and it was still, it was like, we'd say, hey, what do we say when people say it's gambling? Well, it's not because there's an Internet Gaming Act of 2007. And we'd say, like, right, which allows gambling. It doesn't change it from the fact that it's actually gambling, you know? Like,
yeah.
You'd be better off telling me something like, well, you know, kind of insurance is basically gambling.
Yeah.
Okay, I can accept that. I'll go down that slippery slope.
Yep.
So now the NFL is certainly not encouraging its athletes to gamble, per se, but they will be gambled upon. And both sides are going to make money, the owners, the players. Everybody will make money. Except for, you know, for the most part, all of the gamblers.
It's a story that isn't as applicable here as it is in other NFL cities because sports gambling has not been legalized yet here in the state of Texas. Although there are politicians who are trying to get it going here, who are trying to give it a little bit of juice.
Yeah. Well, my general philosophy and theory is that all kinds of, like most, all, really all vice, except for the extreme stuff, should be highly regulated and taxed.
Yes.
Because it's going to happen.
Right.
It's going to exist. And then what you're doing as a people and as a government is missing out on revenue. So you're allowing the people that are doing it on the black market to make money where that revenue could be taxed and going to back
Amen.
To the people. So that you might as well regulate it and tax it. And then when the vice is happening also, that's when the other crimes occur, with like the greater crimes, because nobody's watching.
Yeah.
So when you regulate it, in theory, there's less crime attached to it, and you also, you know, less, you know, like accessory crime attached to it, and you're also making money for the government.
Yeah, there's oversight. You know, the government.
Yeah.
You know, now there's in these states where sports gambling's been legalized. I would assume that there's government officials who are overseeing the sports gambling endeavors in that state.
There are fewer people getting their knuckles smashed over lost bets in Las Vegas than there were like in New Jersey back in the day.
The big losers in this have been orthopedic surgeons who have fewer broken bones to repair.
Yeah.
We can't forget about the orthopedic surgeons. The decrease in business for them.
That's all right, though, because you know what orthopedic surgeons love? Some of the gung-ho new fitness regimens that have, like...
New markets.
48-year-old guy. This is what you're going to do. Jump off of a box.
Right.
100 times in a row. Your Achilles tendons will be fine.
Yeah.
Some of the new age fitness regimens are keeping orthopedic.
That's it. Gambling is a new revenue stream for NFL owners. The gung-ho 48-year-olds are the new revenue stream for the orthopedists.
It is funny. You know, like every year in the NFL, I assume they still do this. I'll have to ask a player at some point who will be paranoid as hell if I ask him this because they scare the Dickens out of you every year about associating with gamblers, informing you about all the various different places that organized crime, you know, permeates. Watch out for gentlemen's clubs, for instance, because a large number of them are owned by organized crime. And then just all the different things you can and can't do. But basically, stay the hell away from professional gamblers.
Did you ever have a mob soldier turned government witness come speak to you as an NFL player? They do that a lot.
Oh, no.
There's a guy named Michael Franzese who used to be part of one of the five families who went rat, went government witness, and then made his living going around doing speaking tours.
Oh, really?
To different
now
colleges.
I'll have to look that up on YouTube.
The college kids are the ones they really want to scare because those are the ones that could really get, you know, kind of scared into, because, you know, NFL players, the average salary's $3 million a year or whatever it is. You know, college kids who are looking to get their next money for pizza, they're more of a target for that kind of thing.
You know, the scared straight story that they used to tell, and I don't even know. They would tell us a story, and frankly, I still don't know exactly what I was supposed to do about it other than just maybe, you know, not go out at all. But they would talk about how women would lure men to their bedrooms.
Yeah.
And then drug them, and then, like, when they were super drugged up, they'd have a guy enter the room, and the activities would ensue.
Oh boy.
And then later, and it would all be on video.
Yeah.
And then later they extorted these guys by having them throw games.
So
was a setup where they were Dude. Blackmailing people by having them throw games after basically drugging them up and then engaging them in embarrassing sexual activity.
Oh my God.
Perhaps, you know, just having something if they were married or what have you. Which, yeah. I mean, I guess obviously the answer is be super careful about who you go back to a bed with. But if you're a young single – as a young single guy, remember I told you earlier I had the one coach that said nothing good happens after midnight?
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd kind of look around and be like, I can't count – I'd need 10 hands to count all the good things that have happened to me after midnight.
I had a great time last night after midnight.
I'm having a hard time staying awake right now because of the awesome –
midnight, yeah.
So, but likewise, it's kind of like, okay, yeah, I mean, but – you know, if some attractive woman convinces me somehow that she's totally into me or something, I got to be honest with you.
Yeah.
This must just be the dumb luck of the draw.
Yes.
That I just got to be watch what they put in my drink.
Yeah, right. Your brain is not fully developed till you're in your mid-20s. We point that out, kids. All right. Who do Texan fans blame for the Texans' current state of affairs? The current state of the franchise, who do they blame? I put up a poll yesterday, 4 choices. I'll tell you who won next. Good to be with you on a Friday, Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. Nick Caserio meets with the media today, 11 o'clock. You'll hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. His pre-draft press conference, which I would imagine the first question won't be about the draft. I'm sure it'll be about Deshaun Watson. So
I just want to fast forward out of this existence, this sports existence.
You mean where, like the Deshaun Watson part or the we live in Houston right now part
where everything is terrible? This specific part, because look, the Astros are still 4th in ESPN's power rankings. Not that you should live and die by ESPN's power
rankings. When did they do those? On Monday?
It lists the Astros record as 6-6.
Okay, all right.
And it gives a little bit of a reminder that, hey, in April, everything can feel huge. You get off to a fast start, it feels like you're on top of the world. You get off to a slow second part, and you remember, you face the A's 7 times. They got a good look at you. Then you face your former manager and A.J. Hinch. A couple pitchers don't have good outings, and there you go. It's just everything evens out.
Yeah.
So for whatever it's worth, it's early. Personally, I'm going to freak out about everything in April, but you as a fan, you know, try to be that cool, calm, and collected one that says, okay, well, everything will be all right.
Yep. We remind you, small sample size. That's the new catchphrase for Payne and Pendergast.
The stat nerd. That's our stat nerd slogan.
That's right. Small
sample
size.
It's a small sample size.
Yep. So I put up a poll yesterday, Seth. I just, you know, got to think, and we've not really taken the temperature of Texan fans on the state of the franchise lately, because we've been so dominated by this Deshaun Watson news cycle. And Deshaun played into it, too, because I think there's more and more people who, I don't know if they blame Deshaun for the state of the franchise right now, but I think they certainly blame Deshaun for, at the very least, his activities putting the team in a position where their rebuild is going to be delayed by a year, right? You know, Deshaun was viewed as, once we all kind of came to the acceptance phase of him not being here anymore, then if you're still on board with the Texans, which I think a lot of people still are, I know those who aren't are going to be like, no way, everybody's jumped off the ship. The people who are still on board with the Texans just aren't that vocal about it. But trust me, there'll be people at the games next year. The team's not going to be very good, but there's still plenty of people who are going to root for the team. And I think folks are disappointed that, you know, once you realize, okay, Deshaun's not going to be here, disappointed that we're still sitting here waiting for the team to pick 67th overall 2 weeks from yesterday, as opposed to having a high first-round pick, having a second-round pick, and really getting this rebuild with Nick Caserio's general manager going. So, my question to the masses yesterday, Seth, and over 2,200 votes.
Yep, and I have not looked at this yet.
Okay, so good,
It a good, honest guess.
I like this. Okay, I like when we do this. Odds on the 2021 season are out. The Texans have the longest Super Bowl odds of any team on the board, including the Detroit Lions and all the teams that you think are crappy. 150-1, plus 15,000.
Ooh, so if I put $10,000
down
on...
You'll win $1.5 million.
That seems stupid not
to. No, wait. Yeah, $10,000, 15 would be 150. Yes, you'll win $1.5 million. It'd be silly for you not to put $10,000 down.
It's the only responsible thing to do, yeah. Especially now that the NFL is openly encouraging gambling.
Right. So
Let's
Seth
sure.
is going
to... $1.5 million, yeah.
You guys don't know this, but Seth, you can't see him, but Seth does the show with a block of bills that total $10,000 and holds it up to his head like a phone throughout the entire show.
Yeah, sometimes when it sounds like my microphone's not working, it's actually because there's too much money between
right.
the microphone and my mouth.
Right.
It's like I'd actually $20,000 or $30,000 accidentally fell between the microphone.
That's
and my
exactly
mouth.
Right. So the Texans have the longest Super Bowl odds, 150-1. They have the lowest posted win total of any team in the league, 4.5. So my question. Who do you primarily blame for this? Just put simply, who do you blame for the Texans being viewed by the gambling world as the worst team in the NFL right now? Your four choices. Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, Bill O'Brien, or Deshaun Watson.
Ooh, okay. So Deshaun Watson, for the current state of affairs, that's a tricky one. Boy, never has the word...
A lot that goes into
never
it.
Never has the word current been able to be dissected so vigorously and in so many different... This is almost like Bill Clinton defining the word is.
That's right.
I'm going to have to try to define the word current.
This is a historic moment that we're on the cusp
of. So the current state of affairs, which would include the fact that whether... no matter what happens with his legal issues, Deshaun Watson was likely not going to be here. But a lot of that was based on... dysfunction within the organization already. So I think most people still aren't going to blame Deshaun Watson for the overall current situation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously he put himself in, at the very least, a strange situation through some of his activities. Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, or Cal McNair. I mean, the logical answer is that the owner is ultimately always responsible.
Sure.
You know, the captain goes down with the ship. Yep. He's responsible for everything. But as people are answering this, are they answering more viscerally or are they answering logically?
Right.
The logical answer is Cal McNair.
Mm-hmm.
And it always really should be. It's just not as much fun to just say, well, the owner should have hired a different guy. Sure. But what if he had hired this guy and it had worked out this way?
Especially because it's the one guy you can't fire in all this.
So this is where the question becomes. Look, Jack Easterby, if you ask Andre Johnson, everything bad started happening when Jack Easterby showed
That's
up.
That's right.
It doesn't look, post hoc, ergo, propter hoc, all that stuff. That's true. It's true. Does it mean that Jack Easterby was to blame for all of it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Is it Jack Easterby is to blame, or is it Jack Easterby is just so charismatic, so some might say conniving, that he wheedled his way in and took advantage of the confidences of Cal McNair and Bill O'Brien?
Yeah.
Some people might believe that, but then they might also say, well, how come Bill O'Brien is such a doofus that he allows it? I am going to say, leading up to all of this,
I don't know why doofus tickled me so much. Continue.
So, as I do my... I'm doing my Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing where I talk my way through every single
this.
Answer.
Yeah, final answer.
So that leads me to Bill O'Brien.
Okay.
Will the majority of Americans, or at least people who've responded to Sean's Twitter poll, agree with me?
2,200 Americans voted, yes.
Yes. I think that really if Bill O'Brien had gotten a better handle on some of his personal blind spots before 2 years ago, then a lot of this other mayhem wouldn't have happened,
mm-hmm.
and the Texans could have moved ahead more productively. So I'm going to say more. I don't know if it's a true majority or not, but the most votes will have been for Bill O'Brien.
For Bill O'Brien. All right, Bill O'Brien. Final answer.
Yes,
Bill final O'Brien. Answer. Bill O'Brien. The answer is Cal McNair. Cal McNair is the answer, and I think you were on track when you were kind of captain goes down with the ship. I think I'm going to share the numbers here in a second, and here's what I find interesting about this, Seth, because the right answer is there's blame to go around, right? There's no one person, and I think that's what you were displaying there as you were talking yourself into an answer. Cal McNair, 43.7% of the vote, and then Bill O'Brien was second, 26.5% of the vote. Jack Easterby next at 22.1%, and then Deshaun Watson, 7.7%, but that's probably a whole hell of a lot more than he would have gotten if we did this poll before all the legal situations. You know, we did this a month ago. Deshaun would have had like a sliver, like 1 or 2%. And some of those would have been trolls from other cities just trying to get Deshaun sideways with the Texans so that they would trade him to their city. Here's what I find interesting about this. Because, yes, the answer is there's blame to go around. These 2,200-plus votes in this thing, again, Cal McNair, 44%, O'Brien, 26.5%, Easterby, 22%, and Deshaun Watson, just under 8% of the vote. That's almost how I would assign blame in this whole thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's how I would assign the blame. You said, who's to blame? And I would say, well, this isn't a poll where I can only pick one thing. Let me tell you how I would assign the blame. I would say about half the blame goes to Cal McNair because he hired all these people, right?
Right. If you know what? Okay, if a fox sneaks into your hen house and kills all your hens, but somebody left the door wide open,
yeah,
who's really to blame there?
That's
a fox
right.
is a fox. You know, it's up to the owner of the hen house to really prevent the fox from getting in. So ultimately you blame the owner.
That's right. So I say the main person that I would blame, if I were voting in this poll, I would have voted Cal McNair. So I say he's the main person I blame. However, we cannot ignore just the severe ineptitude that went on in constructing this team for over a year. And I think that is a split blame on the next tier between O'Brien and Easterby, who were working in conjunction with each other, with O'Brien, as McLean would point out to you, with O'Brien making the final decisions. So it would stand to reason that, yeah, those two have about similar blame, but O'Brien gets just a few percent more. So that passes the smell test for me, too. Cal McNair, number one. O'Brien and Easterby on the next tier, sort of splitting a similar amount of blame to Cal. And then, yes, Deshaun does deserve to be on the grid now because of all the legalities, all the legal entanglements going on right now, or at the very least preventing this team from moving forward.
Sean, you know what? Now, this is all wrapped up in the current state of affairs, but it's interesting. If you fast forward 6 months from now, and where are we? April, May, June, July, August, September. Let's fast forward to October, November, 7 months from now.
Okay.
And let's say the Texans have a horrendous record, and they had zero first-round draft picks, no second-round picks, and you're looking towards next year where at best you're going to have one first-round draft pick.
Right.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Depending on what happens. Like, let's say that's a situation. Yeah. Depending on what happens with Deshaun Watson's legal issues, Deshaun could end up with a much higher degree of blame, let's say a year from now especially.
Yeah.
If you're sitting here and you think, man, it was bad, but then the guy that could have at least yielded us several first-round draft picks and a second-rounder or so, that guy got himself into a hell of a pickle, and now we don't even have that. So depending on how Deshaun's legal matters go, that could end up – Deshaun could end up – because nobody – look, I'm never going to blame Jack Easterby or Bill O'Brien or Cal McNair for whatever Deshaun Watson did.
Yeah.
Ultimately, whatever he actually did. But already we know that he was having consensual acts with massage therapists that in and of itself, you know, he put himself in that situation at the very least. So, yeah, that's the loss of draft picks is really largely all on Deshaun.
It is, and you're right. That could get exacerbated as the year goes on. That's a really good point. If we were to do this poll, and I think chances are, Seth, that that's the situation that we're going to be in. Now, maybe Deshaun's value out there on the market gets scrubbed back up to where it's at least close to where it was before, you know, depending on how these play out. But there's still a good chance it doesn't, to your point. So, yeah, it's...
You would ask a question. If you asked Cal McNair, you can go back and change one thing. What is it?
Right.
What would you answer? And what do you think most Texans fans would say?
I think most Texan fans would say that they would echo what Andre Johnson said, in no small part because I feel like Andre Johnson kind of roused up the masses when he said this. But I think they would say this stuff all started when Jack Easterby got here.
Yeah.
If you went, that's the choke point for a lot of Texan fans.
They're saying that's what Cal's answer should be.
Right.
But
I can tell you unequivocally, that's not what his answer would be, for sure.
Yeah.
That may be the biggest disconnect that ownership has with its fan base right now.
Ultimately, I wonder if there was a way really to get Nick Caserio. If you could swap out Nick Caserio for Jack Easterby.
Yeah.
You know, and now Jack Easterby's influence was... Jack Easterby, to reset the timeline for everybody, Jack Easterby showed up. Within a couple of months, Brian Gain was gone as the Texans went after Nick Caserio. And Nick Caserio was not released by the Patriots. The Texans were accused of tampering. if they had handled that situation better. And even if Easterby is in the building, I think Caserio being the adult in the room when it comes to personnel matters, trade value, all of that, that would have gone a long, long way. Because I think Bill O'Brien respected, I mean, supposedly he respected Brian Gane. That was his hand-picked guy. You know, Brian Gane was trying to keep his powder dry so they could pay Deshaun, so they could keep DJ Reader, all those things. And Bill O'Brien, that just was not aggressive enough for Bill O'Brien.
We still don't know how good a general manager Nick Caserio is. I mean, I like the things that he's done so far, just within the severe confines that he's working with right now, with little high draft capital and you know, trying to clean up a salary cap that was a mess. But I do wonder if you pose the question to Cal McNair, Seth, hey, you guys traded two firsts for Laremy Tunsil. If you could do it over again, would you have traded the Patriots two firsts for Nick Caserio back when the tampering stuff was going on?
Yeah, just to get that part of it.
You know what I mean? Because then at least you could have looked at it and said, well, there's a much better chance we would have been functioning as a real organization through, instead of O'Brien and Easterby just tearing through everything.
I don't think Cal McNair would agree, because I think that Jack Easterby has a lot of people over there convinced that they've actually been doing good things with all these moves.
Yeah.
That somehow, even though they've had to get rid of everybody, that somehow it was mostly Bill O'Brien's fault, you know? And that's where, and again, when I say, hey, maybe if Caserio had been hired, it's not even me predicting that Caserio is going to be a brilliant GM or anything. It's that it would have been an actual GM. Instead of Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby. Like, neither of those guys is qualified to have been doing the personnel things they were doing. That's the flat out 100% truth of the matter as I see it.
Yep.
You know, obviously it's an opinion, but I think 99% of people in the NFL would say, yeah, Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby should not have been at the forefront of these personnel decisions.
No doubt.
Was a bad, bad, bad idea.
No doubt.
And like any GM,
right.
Any GM at all, bring back Charlie Casserly.
Right.
Whatever it might be, it was going to be better than those two making the decisions they did.
1,000%, no question about it. And speaking of GMs, Nick Caserio meets with the media today, pre-draft press conference, 11 a.m., you'll hear it here on Sports Radio 610. Did you see this video of this dude trying to save his family from a bobcat? Did you see this thing? It's getting a lot of run.
It was one of the more remarkable displays of bravery by a non-military or first responder personnel that I've ever seen.
It's not okay. And just to be clear, like when I say that, people immediately probably start coloring in the rest of the picture, like, oh, they must have been on a camping trip, or they must have been,
he must
like,
have, like,
on a
jumped
walk
in front of a locomotive to rescue a baby in a carriage or something.
Right. No, they were in their driveway, like a mini, like this is like your classic suburban family, dad getting out of a minivan with what looked like a box of donuts in his hand on a Saturday morning.
And there's a security camera on the driveway.
Right.
So there's video and audio of the, I don't know, one of those, what are they called? Where you watch on your doorstep. Those
surveillance.
Yeah, I know, but what's the name of the name brand that everybody likes?
I don't know. I go to Allied Home Security to get mine, and you can get four of them for free
to
AlliedHomeSecurity.net.
So the guy walks out. He's got something in his hand. A lady jogs by, and he's like, hey, good morning.
Right, right.
Like, how do you do?
Right.
And then is the audio good enough to play on the radio, or is it a little too confusing?
I think it needs censoring. You know what, Ben? We'll let Ben doctor it up a little bit in there. But And Ben, yes, the audio is probably worth playing as we lay out the description of it first.
Okay.
But yeah, he's getting out of the driver's side, wife's getting out of the passenger side, probably some kids getting out of the van. Hey, neighbor, how you doing? And then all of a sudden you hear the wife just shriek and scream, and they're screaming, oh my God, it's a bobcat, but it's about the size of a big house cat. It's not like a giant
cat. That's what bobcats are. They're like, usually whenever I've seen a bobcat in the wild, you look and you say like, wow, that's a big house cat.
Yeah.
And then you get a little closer and you're like, I'm getting the hell out of here. That's a bobcat.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And so, Ben, just give me a thumbs up when you're able to play this for the people. But it was crazy. So the guy walks over and grabs it with his bare hands.
Yeah.
And then
holds it up.
It.
Well, he holds it up in front of him like he's like examining Simba or something.
Yes.
And then he heaves
what
it
like
kind of a shot put but with a wind up, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and just heaves it. It doesn't go as far as like he probably in his mind he was hoping it would go.
Right.
Because it came right back towards him underneath the car where he was as he's yelling for his wife to go get the strap.
It was crazy. Go get the strap. So it was Seth, what's the scariest wild animal that you've ever come face to face with?
House cat. If you want to hear a good Brandy impression of Seth Payne, which I know everybody loves,
yes.
when my wife does an impression of me, she was when we were living in Bel Air, I was coming in from outside at night,
yeah.
And I don't know if you've ever heard cats mating before, but it doesn't sound like a porno or
right,
anything.
Not as sexy as humans.
It sounds like it sounds like an apparition or something.
Right.
So I got right up next to the house. And I hear these two cats all of a sudden going at it. And I didn't know what it was. I thought it was a goblin or something. And this is what I said. I ran inside saying, like, Brandy. That's what Brandy will claim that I let out some sound like, woo! And, but that might be that. And then also the time that I got thrown off of a horse when I was young and refused to get back on the horse. To my father's disappointment and shame, because, like, I mean, that's the cliche, right? Get back up on the horse.
Yeah.
And my entire life, I still have deep shame over that. The fact that I fell off a horse and I literally did not get back on the horse.
A literal horse.
Yes. Like, that's a character flaw, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you fall off a horse and you don't get back on it,
right.
That's me. I branded myself as that when I was 7 years old.
That's classic. All right. So we'll nab that audio for you. It's a wild video. I'll retweet the video as well. If you're on social media, if you're on Twitter, we'll tweet that out for you. I put up a second poll yesterday as well, and this one is much more split because it's just two choices than the one we just talked about. J.D. Clowney under his new contract or J.J. Watt under his new contract? Who you got next?
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.